mentioned that you've started changing some of the merchandise in the store. How did this come about, and did you start making new contacts then in the business?
When I came back, I didn't know what exactly what to do. And so people kept coming in. They had known we had been to the Orient, and they asked for certain things I didn't have. And they kept repeatedly asking for things I didn't have from the Orient, even in the Orient business. So I said, well, heck, I think we'll just get rid of all these groceries and put in a line of Oriental goods. That time, there's still anti-Japanese feeling around, so I put in exclusively Chinese things. That held me until about 1940, say 1955, yeah. But Chinese goods weren't available so readily, so I put a little of Japanese goods in there, and slowly and slowly. Since I couldn't get things from China, mainland, why I put in the Japanese, because I mixed the both of them. And some of them, customers didn't like it.
Said, who were your customers?
All Caucasians.
All Caucasian.
Very few Chinese. Yeah, there aren't that many around here, you see.
Even after the war, there were still very few families. There were very few families even after the war?
Few families of Chinese.
Right.
Well, there's few starting to come back, come in, but there wasn't much for them to do, so they subsequently left the area with nothing to do. Now, this Mihing Lo family and the Jin family up there and the Shanghai Lo, they bought it. They bought out the one that bought it from my father initially in 1932. They bought that Mihing Lo bought. Only one owner since 1950.
I'm curious about that transition from that row of buildings on one side of the street to the other.
Oh yeah, oh that was 1950. We had those old tracks there, and the city said, well, we want that whole block cleaned off, and you guys will have to move. I didn't know about it until pretty late. I never attended a council meeting, but this was coming along. And it says, well, we're gonna wipe out the whole block and make a civic center. All city and county office area. Also, we need that place, for the whole block for parking. And they came up to Young and says, Young, you're going to have to sell the property off or we're going to condemn it. They got to, they kind of scared Young into selling off a portion of it, see. For the rest of the portion, they were going to pass it that same council meeting night, whether they were going to, you know, that was the last chance to rebut them. I went to the council meeting there. He said, well, anybody want to protest it, pick up now. So I got up and said, well, I said, I just got back from the army fighting the Germans. And the mayor at the time was, the mayor and two councilmen were in high school together with me. And the mayor said, well, anybody want to have any comments? I said, yes. I says, I was in front line. They got a medal for killing, shooting at Germans. So I could protect my home and property. But I had never thought of coming home and having my old classmates and schoolmates taking the property away from me. And so, well, they kind of got together as well. Any other complaints? I said, well, yeah. About on the afternoon, the 3:32 in the afternoon, April 4th, this councilman came up to me and says, I said, this Mr. McPhail Hall came up to me and said, if you don't sell to us, we we're gonna condemn your property and give you what we think it's worth, which is $110 a front foot. My straw building is 25 foot wide, and they were giving me about $2,800 for the whole property. And I says, well, I says, for you to give me that kind of money, I said, what am I gonna do for a livelihood and my home? You've given me $2,800 for my home and property and business. That doesn't sound like the marriage to me. They said, well, we'll tell you what we'll do. If you tear down those old buildings up there next to your built property, on your property, we'll let you keep your property, or else we'll just condemn it. I said, okay, Mr. Mayor. I said, I'll tear down those buildings if you will tear down the Bucket of Blood, which is a saloon next to the biggest hotel downtown. Same block. Was run by, overrun with winos, right in a nice hotel area there. I said, that was condemned 10 years ago. So why is it still standing today? And they got in a huddle there. Well, I guess we forget about the purchase of the R. Louis property. But I didn't know what the reason was, why they got together and said that, what they did. But I found out later that property is owned by the city attorney that was condemned 10 years ago.
What, you mean the bar?
Yeah, the bar. Yeah. Saloon.
A little conflict of interest. They,
so, I got, oh, yeah, no.
Were there other Chinese property owners?
No.
None at all. What about the Chong family?
Oh, they were above, they had that, their property had been sold off prior to artists were left of Chinatown. Well, Chinatown's a blight in the area, we'll wipe it out this way. The heck with the Chinese. They're gonna shove me off the map like that. And hold it. A couple days later, they took it on the radio. They had this radio owner. It sparks with the speed something, his Italian boy. Had to run into the city, I guess, and he put this on the news, new news, you see, about this man coming up to me and telling me you gotta, you know, sell or else. And it came over there and all the people called up and gave City Hall heck for doing what they're trying to do to us, you see, because we had so many friends here. Well, you can't do that though, you know, the fixture here. So, he had so many calls in the, to the city hall, this radio station, to put that same program for 3 days straight, he put that same program on. So about a week after that, the district attorney sent the constable down to me. The district attorney wants to see you. I said, what for? I said, I don't know, you better go see him anyway. I went up there and he happened to be the last engineer on the BC Railway, his attorney. Well, Louis says, I hate to call you up here, but I can do something about it. If what you said was not true, you're going to be sued for libel and slander by the city and the city council. And he said, well, tell me you're in the story. I'm going to record it. We're going to play it back to the grand jury. And if you find out that what you say was not true, you're going to get it. I said, okay, let's go. I mean, I'm willing to sacrifice it. I've got, you know, my life to lose here if I don't. So I said, well, let's record it. He asked me these same questions over here. Recorded it. Well, did they what they said was really what they said? I said, yeah. Also, the mayor approached me on his way to church one afternoon. Oh yeah, I do picture frame right now, and a week before the meeting, I framed this, what they call it, Bill of Rights, I framed that and it's hanging in his office. You can't deprive a man of his rights. That was one of them. And I said, on his way to church, I was out there in my store, and he stopped by to see me. His church is across the street. He stopped by and asked me, did that Bill Hall say what he said on that afternoon? I said, yeah, that's right. He said, oh God. He said, then he went on to church. He's just, he's stupid for saying that to you. He thought I was just another hog. And then let it get laid down. He said, I was not about to do that. So he said, well, the lawyers turned the thing off. He said, well, why do you think of that? That guy's a damn fool to talk to you like that. But first, tell me, where'd you learn all these rules and law, rules and regulations, you know, about law? I said, I took up commercial law in the 8th grade. I still remember. The man got it right. Even under condemnation proceeding, you got a chance.
But now, there were no other Chinese. What about the other Chinese property owners? The other side of the street was not.
There weren't any. Oh, that one, Mi Heng Lo, President Mi Heng Lo.
Right.
Well, he was on the right side. They didn't want that block, part of the block. They wanted our side of the block. Mm-hmm. As you know, we're the only ones in the whole block. And the rest of it is a city parking lot. Mm-hmm. And the city got behind me. My God, I had 1,000 phone calls. My business booms.
Even the city got behind you afterwards then?
The city, townspeople.
Not
the council.
Not the council. What happened to the mayor? I mean...
The city councilman was pushing out because he was getting a kickback on all the meters he put on that lot.
Yeah.
And he was going to up for election next 4 months from then, see? Oh. He wanted to make a big deal out of it. Well, he started that project fighting me, and he's the first guy that went down the tube. He was not elected, re-elected.
Now the buildings on the other side of the block are of later construction.
Yeah, the one directly across from me, yeah.
Do you recall when they were built, and was there a Chinese architect involved?
No. That present meeting was our first store.
Right.
That was on our present location. In 1882, my father says, I'm outgrowing this thing. That was when he had all the railroad people working for me. And so he said, I'm going to build a new building. And he took it, and he had a contract. I have the contract. It's written on a calling card. That old store building was picked up bodily, and he bought that lot across the way on the 20-foot front. And he picked up that building bodily and put it on a lot. Okay, here's something came in. After a while, there was this, used to be a residence on that corner, directly across it, which is now the Carpenters Union Hall. That was bought up, it used to be owned by a constable. And he passed away and the mother sold it. And so this Carpenters Hall owner of the lot drew up plans for this new building. There was no Chinese architects. In those days, there was no such thing. No such thing in the Chinese. In fact, they couldn't break the barrier. And then he had plans for this new office building there, see. So he went to, well, he looked up the records there, and the surveyor said, well, the Mi Heng Lo is 3 inches over, the rear end is 3 inches onto your property. Now, instead of giving a little bit on his drawing of plans and all, he told the owner of Mi Heng Lo, who just bought it at that time, up in the 50s, yeah, 50s, you were going to take that side of the building off. The guy, he said, how much money you want for the 3 inches? I don't want money. No money. You take that side, we're taking the side of the building off because you're on my property. It's a frame building. You know? So he said, well, instead of tearing, you know, tearing out that one wall, we're going to tear out the whole thing. So he built that new building, and I said, that new restaurant. What's the building? That was a thing in disguise, a blessing in disguise. But the idea, you know.
And all the adjacent buildings, too, including Shanghai restaurant.
Was
it later?
Shanghai was a garage.
It was a garage.
It was a garage.
that was not converted to a restaurant until when?
Only when he had to move from Young's property. He didn't want to leave such so-called Chinatown thing. So this garage warehouse thing was owned by the grocery store down below. And he sold it. He didn't sell it. He rented it out to his Shanghai lawyer, owner, George Jin.
And that happened when? About
51, 52,
51, 52.
But he had to move over here.
I see.
But now they're going to make it move again, incidentally.
Are they?
Because they're making a city tri-level parking, Park 8, out of that area from Shanghai Low up to the far corner. All those buildings have to come out. And he had only just bought 4 years ago from the owner, of the original owner of that building.
All the way up to Shanghai Low?
Up to Shanghai Low, up to Morrow Street.
In other words, two buildings over, you got an empty lot, right? There's a parking lot.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then to the
next
corner.
To Shanghai Low is a parking lot.
Yeah.
And then there's that big building on the corner, which used to be a garage.
This
is now a pharmacy. I mean,
I want you to go back into another area. When you started going into the Chinese goods business, you started dealing probably with more firms in San Francisco or Los Angeles. You mentioned George Mu earlier. How much contact did you have? Did you find yourself traveling more to Los Angeles?
Mostly in San Francisco. There was no Chinatown in LA as such at that time. There wasn't any.
In the 50s?
Very little.
Very little.
San Francisco China was, you know, always, well, always was big. So I bought most of my, I'll say 90% of the San Francisco area. There were shops in LA where they bought where I bought, so I couldn't buy too much of that.
Since we have an interest in Southern California,
yeah.
How often did you travel and what kinds of business or recreation did you go down there for?
Oh, I went down to see the shows, see our family is pretty close to show business. Because I worked backstage during Goldwill days, I was a projectionist, and appreciate the plays and big extravaganza they put on today. Because we used to work backstage. We had the only Chinese stage crew in America. My brother Fred, Young, and myself, and Stella's brother, Roy Chandler. We ran a whole shebang there at the theater. Besides being all the way from a janitor up to a projectionist, and the shifting scenery, and an electrician at the backstage. We didn't handle all of that.
Could you then go down to Los Angeles and do a whole show? Did you
just handle our own thing right here. We know our switchboard, projection machine. We could walk into any projection booth and operate the machine.
Uh-huh.
It was that uniform.
I see. But then...
Let's get back to the buying end of the store. Well, I did trade it mostly with the big firm, import firm in San Francisco. The only one we dealt with in Los Angeles was Quanquan. He was the only importer.
Yeah, they're quite big.
Up in North, it was China Dry Goods owned by T.Y. Chen, the big Shanghai couple.
What kind of things did you buy from him?
He had his family in Shanghai. And I got a lot of brassware. He brought in anything. He was so new at it. When I went to visit him, he said, "What shall I bring in?" He asked me. Because I had just come back from China in the 30s, you see. And he wanted to start up this business. In fact, would you like to go in business with me? In fact, I worked in his office with him. And he said, "Well, let's see what we can do. If you tell me, I'll go back and buy it. You tell me what to bring in, because I'm new here. I don't know what the American public wants."
Uh-huh.
Yeah? So, I said, "Just bring in this brassware." The stuff I brought home, we brought home 26 pieces of suitcases full of stuff. And all the town people want to buy it. I said, "Well, this is what the people of the American public want."
Chairs,
all that stuff. Brassware, figurines. And
so you did make some trips down to Los Angeles then?
Yes.
Did you stop at some of, in Chinatown? Did Did you stop at some of the restaurants?
You know, the old one that's been burnt, torn down. Old Chinatown, Apple Blossom Street.
Where you
I think you guys are too young for that, I think, about that. But that's old, where the old,
you know, station
the there? George Washington Market area there, by the train station there.
By
old
the train
Chinatown.
Station.
They tore that all down in there. Old
you,
Chinatown.
You did go down there sometimes?
Of course,
did you do a little shopping? Or did you
not a great deal, that's, well, we did some, but not that great.
Any friends?
Not as often as San Francisco.
No friends or relatives down there?
Well, not an anime Wong brother and sister anime, we knew anyway. But the LA Chinese, they were few and far between the Louis family. At least about one of the girls, in fact, they had a packing.
Uh-huh. Speaking of the Louis family,
yeah.
Did the...
That's Louie now.
Right.
Not like us, Louis.
Right. Did your family, during the agricultural period, ever deal with a Louis produce company?
No, that was too late. They came much later. They were in the produce, you see.
Right.
I mean, well, our fruits mostly,
uh-huh.
But the vegetables, well, we were way before that.